It's Barely on Topic, a podcast for Boston Bruins fans by Boston Bruins fans. Welcome to Barely on Topic, a podcast for Boston Bruins fans by Boston Bruins fans. And of course, I am VA and I am here all by myself. Yeah, as it turns out, each of the guys was either busy or out of the country or, in Tim's case, not feeling very well. So I told him to take care of himself and I told the others, no problem. And here I am all by myself. And I felt like it was really important to put out another episode just prior to the trade deadline, which is coming up as we are recording on Wednesday. And I mean we as in the royal we. It's 2 days away, 3 p.m. on Friday. So in the meantime, we will talk about some of the Bruins stuff, how they've been playing, maybe get into what the Bruins are looking for. I have no idea what they're going to be able to do, but some of the big names that they have targeted are off the board. So let's start out with some games. I finally figured it out on Monday morning. I was able to verbalize, put it into words, what I feel about the Bruins lately with their chances at playing against other teams. And I determined that I'm not afraid of the opponents. I'm afraid of the Bruins. And that's not a good place to be if you're a fan, because that just means that your team is, well, fucking it up at various times when they shouldn't be. I thought about that on Monday morning. So as you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs do not live in my head at all. Not rent-free, not rent controlled, not paying rent at all. They're just not there. I constantly love to think about how the Leafs are, well, they're going to leave, right? So anyway, so here I am on Monday. I'm like, I'm not afraid of the Leafs. I am afraid of the Bruins. So you can imagine how I felt that night. But I did tune in because, of course, anytime the Leafs and the Bruins play, it's going to be fun. And yeah, I was not disappointed. That's it. Yes. Okay. I don't want to say pleasantly surprised because it makes it sound like I didn't believe the Bruins would win. Oh, I believe that they could get a lead. I'm not sure they could hold it, but I knew they could get a lead. But anyway, that's not even where our journey starts with regards to the Bruins, because they played 4 games since we last recorded. And we knew that it was going to be a tough schedule because 2 of those games were back to back. And that's always fun. And no, it's not. But it's March. It's the nature of the beast, right? There are going to be 14 games. There are going to be multiple back-to-backs. Heck, they're even playing well into April for some reason. So, okay, you do that. But anyway, yeah, it started out on Thursday last week, February 29th, Leap Day, when the Vegas Golden Knights came into town. Now, of course, the media made sure to talk to Bruce Cassidy, and he, of course, pointed out his shiny new ring. I don't blame him for any of that stuff. Bring that stuff. It's just extra motivation. I'm not sure for whom, but it is extra motivation. I'm proud of him for winning the ring. I'm still a little upset that the Bruins gave up on him. And that's all I'm going to say right now. But this game was a really fun game in the respect that Morgan Geekie had a hat trick. He managed to get 3 goals. Within the first 2 periods. It wasn't a natural hat trick, but it was a hat trick nonetheless. And that's always fun to see. I love seeing hat tricks by other players other than just Pasta. So it's fun. If you stopped watching the game after the first period, you would think Bruins have this in hand. I don't need to watch anymore. Everything's going to be fine. But we all know that games are not won within the first 20 minutes. It is a 60-minute slog. And the Bruins decided not to play the second period for the most part, because that's when they allowed the Vegas Golden Knights to come back into the game. The Bruins had like 7 shots on goal. Golden Knights had twice plus 1, 15 shots on goal. And they had goals from Cotter, who in previous matchups against the Bruins, he's been dangerous. Petrangelo, then there was Kiki, and then there was Amadio, another dangerous guy against the Bruins, man. It's like the Bruins just can't see these guys, but whatever. So by the end of the second, it was tied 4-3. The Bruins did come back in the third with 1 more goal, but it was only after the Golden Knights tied it up. Now, you know, we know that zone entries can be difficult for the Bruins. And it just seems like when they're like crossing the blue line somewhere, they just cough up the puck. They don't guard where they need to. You got to win the puck battles along the boards, all that stuff. They just weren't doing that. But thankfully, Mason Lowry had a power play goal at 15:23 in the third to seal the deal, seal the win in regulation for the Bruins. But you can't say the Bruins didn't try to lose this game, because Grizz got called for holding the stick just after that goal was scored. And luckily, nothing bad happened. They killed off that penalty. So good for them. But man, could we just have a win where we don't have to bite our nails? You know, especially when it's like, oh, you guys were leading so firmly in the first. And then Saturday they played again. This time it was not at home. It was at the Islanders in Elmont, New York. This is the first time they faced the Islanders with Patrick Waugh as the bench boss. And I don't think I ever want to see that again, because the Bruins really played a very terrible game. They lost 5-1. They let Palmieri have a hat trick. What was it? Within the first period? Oh, I got to look this up. I did not write this down because I wrote very few notes for this game because it sucked. I turned off after the first period. I just was like, yeah, I don't know if this game's for me tonight. And that's a bad way to be. Oh, yeah. Kyle Palmieri got a natural hat trick in the first period. One of them was a power play goal. Oh, yay. So great. And then, you know, Anders Lee, Brock Nelson piled on in the second. And then Mark McLaughlin, who was called up to the Bruins that game because they sent Anthony Richard down or something. I'm not really sure. All I know is that my pick for the seventh player last year, who didn't even get called up, he got called up for this game and he scored a goal. So good for him. Very proud of you. But, you know, it was all pretty much for naught because that game sucked. So Monday, the day of my epiphany in the morning, they took on the Leafs that night. Monday, March 4th, 2024. And guess what, guys? That was a solid game. That is the most solid game I've seen by the Bruins in a long time. It was a really feel-good win. Not just because it was against the Leafs, because that's always feel-good, but it was a complete effort. It's like they looked at the same thing that I was watching on NHL Network earlier in the day when Corey Schneider and Mike Conroy, a defenseman who played before my time of watching. Anyway, they were discussing with the Bruins problems where they were having problems at the blue line, getting the puck taken away from them, not winning battles, not guarding the middle of the ice and winning the puck battle along the boards and being a little too loose around the net. Anyway, it's almost like they watched that because, man, oh man, the Bruins just decided to come in and start dominating this game, and they never gave it up. We had Kiki and Zaka scoring in the first. In the second, Jake DeBrusk. Good to see you back, Jake. Yep. And then the third, John Tavares. Bleh. He scored early in the third, but Pavel Zaka, about mid-period, decided to score another one. So two for Zaka that night. That's good. And of course, Pasta had assists on both of those, with him having like 52 assists now. So Jeremy Swayman got to have the win. It was 32 saves. Very good. Very good. We love that. And then the next night, the Bruins get to go home because they played that game in Toronto. So they got to go home and face the Oilers, who had been just sitting, waiting for the Bruins to come back. And this game is still fresh on my mind from last night. I overall, for a game that was 0-0 going into the third, I thought it was a pretty good game. The Bruins are pretty scrappy, not too many mistakes that I could see. Any mistakes they made were not capitalized upon. And that's hard to do, basically, because you have a line of Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, and Zach Hyman all ready to pounce on you if you make a mistake with them. there was a funny moment late in the second period when I guess Brandon Carlo's stick broke and he was defending against McDavid, so he shoved him with two hands. McDavid had the puck. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that was kind of fun. But the Bruins did get called for some penalty where it basically they were handling McDavid a little too roughly or something. I don't know. It was just, it was kind of funny. It was dangerous touching or something. Woo! But anyway, that didn't really matter. Early in the third, Zacha again. Wow. Pavel Zacha just scoring the goals lately. 15 on the year for him. But then late in the third, the things unraveled a little bit. And despite the fact that the Bruins had the ability to get to the other end of the ice where there was an empty net, and they took some shots and just failed to capitalize upon that. And the puck went right back down the ice to Ullmark. And instead of playing the puck even out to the corner or just chipping it up the ice, like, you know, you could just, he knows how to put an arc on that puck. Instead of doing that kind of stuff, he just put his glove down on the puck. And that, as a Bruins fan, should have made you feel a little bit wary, because it's late in the third. The other team is icing six players and you have to take a face-off in your own zone. It didn't go well. It didn't go well. One problem was that Brandon Carlo was there at the net and he got tripped up. So he ended up landing on his butt and then he laid down. I'm not sure what was going on with that. Anyway, Dreisaitl scored. So they left the third period tied 1-1. And so they went into overtime. And if you guess that Dreisaitl would score again, and this time, it deflected off of Carlo's stick as he was trying to block the shot. Yeah. You know what? That was the 15th loser point for the Bruins. And that is not great. Let's just take a look at the standings right now. Okay, the Bruins have 87 points. They are second in the Atlantic. With Florida Panthers have 90 points. And Toronto has 78. Okay, so let's minus 15 points from that 87. Where would they be? Well, they would be right in league with Tampa Bay right now, who's also sitting at 72. They are fifth in the Atlantic. It looks like they are, they're the bottom, the wild card teams right now. So yeah, that wouldn't be great. That wouldn't be great for the Bruins if they didn't have those loser points. But I hate to say this, if they had won all of those games, they would be at 102 points right now. So, you know, you leave a point on the table for each of those games. So that's not great, guys. It's not terrible. Certainly not how you want to keep things going. This is March. They're supposed to be heating up. It was not a terrible game yesterday, but they should have walked away with the win. And it was just some stupid play in the third period, a penalty that didn't get called. And because the goal was scored, it couldn't be reviewed because of that penalty that wasn't called. So it sucks to be them. With regards to the Bruins and how they are right now, of course, we know that they're missing Hampus Lindholm, who's been out for, well, I think now 6 games with some injury. I'm not even sure what the injury is. I guess it's a lower body injury. And it's something that Montgomery emphatically said was not eligible for surgery. So, okay, that's fine. Yesterday, he said that he doesn't know when Lindholm will be back, but that he's getting closer. So that's nice. But I'd feel better if the defense were intact and the players who were supposed to play and who were supposed to be good at their jobs were indeed that. So, and I'm looking right at you, Derek Forbert. I don't know what the hell happened, but you have fallen off the map and you haven't been in games lately. So, yeah. So this week, it was revealed that Jeremy Swayman and the Bruins are in talks for an extension. Not a surprise. Not even a surprise hearing about it right now. the Bruins have been rumored to be listening to offers on Ullmark. And you want to have Swayman locked up before you commit to moving on from Ullmark, for sure. Now, Ullmark has a limited no trade clause. I believe it is 16 teams. So that limits things. And also the fact that goalies are never really very good after they're traded at the deadline because of a whole bunch of factors. Goalies are very sensitive when it comes to playing with new teams, and they have to kind of know the people playing around them and the system and all that stuff. So personally, I don't think that Ullmark's going to be dealt at the deadline, but I would expect that he will be dealt at the draft. And I say that with a heavy heart because I don't want to see that happen. I love the goalie brotherhood. I love the goalie hugs. Those are things that make me very, very happy. And maybe that's why I'm angry about last night, because I didn't get a goalie hug. Rest assured, listeners, I'm going to the game Thursday night against the Maple Leafs. I'm going to be a good luck charm. Every game I've gone to, they've won. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to see my goalie hug. Damn it. Anyway, so let's talk about this trade deadline stuff. Lots of names have moved around in the last week. Of course, Tim reported that was dealt to the Stars, and it was kind of like, oh, there, it was kind of like a really cheap return on him. So in the last few days, what has happened? Leap Day, Ilya Lyubushkin was dealt to the Leafs from the Ducks for a 2025 third round pick. So not even this year, it's next year. Anthony Mantha was dealt from Washington to the Vegas Golden Knights. Everybody's very, very upset about the Vegas Golden Knights. I'll explain that in just a second. For a 2024 second round, a 2026 fourth round. Okay, so the deal with Vegas Golden Knights is that, you know, they've basically been good ever since they were born. And that's annoying. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, Mark Stone was put on LTIR, I believe, because of some back issue or something. He's had back issues for a long time. It's some injury. I don't know what it is. I could look it up, but whatever. Editor's note, as it turns out, it's a lacerated spleen. So he was put on LTIR, which means, oh, conveniently, they can do some moves. They haven't even gotten rid of like major picks or anything for these moves. I mean, really, a second round and a fourth round. Anthony Mantha should be pretty good for them. That's not the only move that the Vegas Golden Knights have made. We'll get there. Now, today, it's been a busy day. 2 days just before the deadline. We have Vladimir Tarasenko, right wing, going from the Sens to the Panthers for a conditional 2024 fourth round pick and a 2025 third round pick. I'm not going to lie. My response to this when I saw this was, it's been a nice season, guys. And I'm just hoping that Tarasenko doesn't fit in very well. Anyway, Panthers are good and I hate that. So then Adam Henrique was thrown around as a name that teams might want. So the Ducks said, yep, we're going to get rid of him. We're going for the full rebuild. Let's just get rid of everybody. So they sent Henrique and Sam Carrick and a 2024 seventh round pick to the Oilers for a 2024 first. Not bad. That's pretty good. Get another first round pick and a 2025 fifth round pick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not bad at all. You can get those first round picks. You get them. So then we also had the Flyers sent defenseman Sean Walker, who I don't know from a hole in a wall, honestly, and a 2026 fifth round pick to the Avs for Ryan Johansson and a conditional 2025 first round. And here's a kicker. Philly right now has put Johansson on waivers. I don't know exactly what the purpose of that is. It could be to just meet some salary cap demands right now. But people are joking around about the fact that John Tortorella maybe threatened to quit if he had to coach Johansson again. So fun. Sabres dealt Casey Mittelstadt. Where is Mittelstadt? But, you know, German, whatever. To the Avs for a defenseman named Bowen Byram. I don't know who he is, but that's okay. This just seems like typical Sabres moves. Just bye Mittelstadt. It was nice knowing you. And then the Rangers. Yep, the Rangers got better because they got Alex Wennberg from the Kraken for a 2024 second and a 2025 fifth rounder. Now, Bruins fans, I hope that you weren't really, really big on getting Noah Hanifin at the deadline. It sounds like a good idea. Hanifin basically has said he wants to come to Boston. Right now, I hate to say it, but Hanifin's not coming to Boston anytime soon. Not this year, anyway. We don't know what's going to happen. But he was traded from the Flames to the Vegas Golden Knights. And yes, you should be mad. You should be mad that the Golden Knights still have the ability to do this. Okay? So, it's really, really annoying. The Bruins can go after him in free agency. That's for sure. And if Hanifin's serious about wanting to play for Boston because he's from here, good. Okay? That's fine. But that's not happening until at least the summer. So, yeah. Be angry. Be annoyed. It's okay. You can feel however you want to feel about these things. One player we don't know anything about right now is Jake DeBrusque. Obviously, he's a little nervous around the trade deadline. He always is. Last week, we talked about how he hasn't been offered a contract yet. There's like no negotiations going on with that. There were rumors of him maybe going out to Vancouver as part of a deal for Elias Lindholm. And I don't know how that's going because, you know, of course, Vancouver traded for Lindholm. He's been a little bit underwhelming. And then this past Saturday, they just signed Elias Pettersson to a lot of money for the next 8 years. So they might not have the same use for Lindholm as they once had. So lots of players who could be finding new places to play in the next few days or next couple of days. So, and remember, when they say 3 p.m. on Friday, they're talking about the stuff has to be into the league office. The fax has to go to the league office by 3 p.m. It's not uncommon to not hear about things until about 5 or 6 necessarily. So it really depends. Again, I'm not really sure what the Bruins should do. They don't have very many draft picks. If they wanted to trade somebody and get some more draft picks, that would be great. I like Jake. I'm just tired of the streakiness. I'm tired of the whining about the contract. I'm just tired of that kind of stuff. It would be great if they could work something out. And if Jake could be a little less streaky, but whatever. He seems to be very sensitive about who he can play with. And that's kind of a bummer. Now, I don't think Ullmark is going to be traded. I would not be surprised if the Bruins tried to get somebody better, both in the top six and down in their decor. Grizz and Forbert, not the highest values right now for either one of them. You could probably get something for them, but it's not that great. I'm sure that Don Sweeney is listening to all sorts of offers and he's going to determine the best choices. I know that they want to add something, but they got to get rid of some salary. It's very tough. I'm so glad I'm not an NHL GM because this is not the kind of math that I enjoy. So, yeah. On a different subject now, still related to the Bruins, but not as heavily. I did want to address Jack Edwards because we've been talking about him for the last couple of years. A couple of weeks ago, he came out with an interview in the Boston Globe where he basically talked about what's going on with him. And essentially, they don't know what's going on with his speech. He has gone through countless scans. There's nothing wrong with his brain, nothing that anybody can see. He's going through speech therapy, which can be very tiring. On game days, he goes through a practice that is less time than he does on non-game days. And I'm going to tell you something. I noticed right away after that story came out, Jack seemed pretty good. Like, I was trying to basically sit there and just go, okay, so am I imagining this? Am I just trying to give him more credit for how he sounds? And no, he's been sounding pretty good. Last night, he stumbled over some things, and I think it's truly because he was tired, because they didn't get in until like 3 a.m., and that will do it to you. Try talking to me after I've gone to bed at 4 a.m. and, well, I've been up for hours. Not good. But what I'm trying to say is that I think that my personal opinion is that Jack doesn't have this secret anymore. It's like we all know something was going on, but no, they truly don't know. It's a medical mystery at this point. But I think it was just like he got that monkey off his back. So now he sounds a little bit better. He sounds like he's not worrying about it all the time. And I think that the outpouring to him has been great. I, for one, am glad that he came out and said something. I'm very glad that he's healthy and that there's nothing wrong with him. And I know that it's like, you know, whatever's going on with him, it's okay. I can listen and I can understand, and I'm glad he told everybody what was going on, which is nobody knows. So yeah, the rumors about cancer and stuff, not true. I'm glad that he is okay. I'm glad that he's sounding better. And now that we know that it's just something that's going on, then we can all just kind of relax and just be like, okay, just let Jack do his thing. That's all. So I wanted to address that because I forgot to do it last week. And I think it's important to talk about these kind of things, especially with people who are out in the public. I think it's important to have your own privacy, but I think it's also important, especially knowing that other people are worried about you or are going through the same things, to know that it's okay. You can keep doing your things. You can keep moving on, and don't let this stuff affect you as much as it can. Don't let this stuff affect you that much. Keep moving on. And as a child, I went through a lot of speech therapy, and I do have my moments where I am completely tongue-tied. I leave a lot of those in for everybody to listen to because I'm not perfect. I have things going on. My brain sometimes moves a little bit too fast, and my mouth and my tongue do not want to move that fast. I'm a 50-year-old woman. This is what happens. I'm glad he said something. I wanted to point it out because maybe not everybody's heard about that. This is, you know, something that was published in the Boston Globe. So good for Jack. Keep going on. Do things for as long as you can. That's what I say. So with that, I think I'm pretty much done. I don't really have a lot of things to talk about other than those things. And I don't have anybody to talk to about those things. So yeah, it's a pretty concise show, but I hope it's good enough for you to do your normal things, go about your normal activities. I thank you for listening to us. I'm not quite ready because I got to tell you about the games that are coming up. Now, I'm going to read through the 16th because things are going to be hectic and weird in my life for the next few, let's say next month or so. We're going to come up with shows, don't you worry. So starting on March 7th, which is tomorrow night, or, you know, if I get this out in time, tonight, the Bruins are at the TD Garden playing against the Toronto Maple Leafs again for the second time this week. I believe that this is the last meetup of the season. Could be wrong. I'm just going to double check because there is April. Yep, this is the last meeting of the regular season. So this should be fun. I can't wait. I'm guessing since it was Ullmark on Tuesday, it's going to be Swayman tomorrow night. Okay, cool. Saturday, March 9th, the Bruins are playing at home against the Penguins for a 3 p.m. matchup. 3 p.m. Really? It's such a weird time. Those of us who have to walk their dogs and stuff like that, and our dogs insist on going before dark, that's a tough thing to make up, like to go for that afternoon walk, that late afternoon walk with that. The games are on ESPN and, ESPN Plus and ABC, which is good because I think I'm going to miss this game and I'll watch it later. That'll be fine because ESPN Plus has on-demand games, so I can watch it. So that'll be cool. But anyway, yep. Will the Penguins still have Jake Guentzel? I don't know. We'll find out. And then on March 11th, the Bruins are still at home, which is nice, and they welcome the St. Louis Blues to the TD Garden for a 7 p.m. game. It'll be on Nesson, and we could see old friend Torrey Krug, probably, because I don't think he's going to get traded. But anyway, yeah, so that'll be fun. Then the Bruins have a couple days off, and then on Thursday, March 14th, they travel to Montreal so they can play at the Centre Bell. A 7 p.m. start against the Habs, of course. And I want to say this is the last meeting for them. Let's see. Oh, God. Two games against the Carolina Hurricanes next month. Not great. Yeah, it's the last meeting for the two of them this season. So, yeah, it's always fun to beat the Habs. It's always a glorious day to hate the Habs, as I like to say. And then Saturday the 16th, Bruins are back at home welcoming Philly in. 7 p.m. start on Nesson. Unfortunately, no Gritty because that's here and not there. Will Ryan Johansson be part of the Flyers organization at that point? Who knows? We'll find out then. I don't think it's a burning question for anyone. I mean, he's kind of, eh. All right, so cool. I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you have a smashing day. I would like to thank, I believe his name is Tuska Muikkanen. I might have butchered your last name. I am so sorry. Butchered your whole name. I love Finns, so it really makes me very upset to have possibly butchered that name. But anyway, I had a lovely chat with him on Discord, of all places, this week, which is nice. I've told you before that basically I'm queen of pies everywhere except for on Twitter. And he was like, hey, I'll just message her. And we were talking about all sorts of things. He introduced me to the idea of bog football, which is basically swamp soccer. And I'm like intrigued. I cannot wait to go over to Finland someday in the summer. And I'm going to go watch sports because basically their idea of baseball is it makes our game look super boring. And I really want to go see it. It seems like it's a lot of fun. And then bog soccer. Yes, please. I will do that. That's good. So anyway, thank you for reaching out. I love talking to people. I'm in a very talky phase right now. So I'll tell you how you can get a hold of me. Let's do that right now. You can find us as a podcast just about anywhere. And if you're listening to us right now, you have found us. So you don't really need to go to SoundCloud or Spotify or whatever. Or maybe you do, but you have. already. So you can reach us to chat with us or make comments at Barely On Topic on Twitter and at Barely On Topic Podcast on Facebook. You can get me at my Twitter handle at VA from RI. But realistically, if you talk to anyone at Barely On Topic on Twitter, that's me. Like I said, I'm basically queen of pies everywhere else, and that's fine. And, you know, tell me if you would be interested in like a Discord chat or something. That might be a fun way for people to talk. I would like it if people could talk to each other. You can talk to us, you can talk to each other, you know, build a little community. I love Discord for that. I know every social media thing has its ups and downs and stuff, but I think it could be a really great thing and a great place. So think about that. Get back to me. I'd love to hear from everybody about that. And of course, if you want to talk to any of the other boys, basically, you've got Tim A. Richardson on Twitter. I think he's Tim A. Richardson everywhere. You've got Nick Baggio on Twitter, or I think he's Bagel Bruin there, but he's basically Nick Baggio everywhere else. And Jeff is at Dr. Hand Grenade, spelled A-I-D. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we all have our special things that we talk about. Jeff is the super nerdy type about hockey. Tim knows a lot about every sport. And Nick also likes to talk about cars and bases. So there you go. And I like to talk about a lot of things, as you know. Anyway, you know all of this stuff. So I look forward to hearing from you. And I'm going to have to give you the word. Word.